You're listening to Around Comics, episode 221, brought to you by InStockTrades.com, Afro Samurai, and Netflix.
Let's say you're in Chicago and you're rattling along on the hill. And the one who rides beside you is a stranger to herself. Nobody knows her own heart. You might have been introduced, but you drifted apart. You're alone, away from where you belong.
From Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you guys are in the area, please drop by. And they keep setting up right here over your shoulder.
Shut up! I'm thinking about having my balls laminated. I hope nobody can hear this. I have a very private thing I need to discuss here. So I've come to Around Comics podcast to do it.
Shut up!
Hey there, folks. I'm Christopher Niesman. Let me get you introduced to this week's panel. We've got some familiar voices after a month or so of new special guests, after Art Balthazar and Sal Abernathy, and that was a lot of fun. But this week, we decided to slum it and bring John back.
Exactly. Man, do you have any pants-shitting stories?
I'm fresh from the D-list. Nice to see everyone. Exactly. Thank you.
Our good buddy, the host and voice of Word Balloon, Mr. John Central. It's good to have you back.
Well, it's the... con video master.
VJ. Newsarama.
I am a Newsarama VJ.
It's Kurt Loder.
I'm the Nina Blackwood of Newsarama's VJs.
Who's the redhead on MTV Forever, MTV News?
Slut Kennedy.
D. McSlutty.
No.
Was that the one that asked Clinton boxers or briefs?
Yeah
maybe. Our
Tabitha Soren.
Tabitha Soren. Hottie. Yes.
Ooh, I liked her. She's in my basement right now.
Nice.
Whoa.
The host of Tom versus The Flash, Mr. Tom Caters. How you doing?
Yeah, it's good. Everyone's got headphones. I feel like I'm inside a podcast. Because I'm like,
you're in my head, Caters.
Is this real life?
Now you know what everyone else hears all the time.
And to listeners out there, we've had a lot of fun this year with the podcast, but the audio quality has been below our standards, what we want it to be. So we have upgraded some equipment. Everybody is tuned in to each other. Got the headphones on here and new mics.
Hopefully it will help.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Courtesy of my partner in crime, Mr. Brian Salazar, who's been Guitar Center's best customer.
Yes, I've been running the Guitar Center and Best Buy, and
you've been financially stimulating the audio market this week.
That's my little job.
Do we have anything that we can plug into that will filter out all of our ill-informed opinions, or is that going?
I don't think that exists.
That's still just going to fly right by.
That's an internal editor. Attack. All right. I want to remind everyone that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by InStockTrades.com. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all of those orders over $50 do, in fact, ship for free. There you go. Oh, and music for this episode, we are spotlighting the old 97s and Rhett Miller.
Are you bringing back the intro song, though?
The what?
The intro song. You changed the intro song. I don't want to hear the Rolling Stones as our intro song. And
I'm just playing some around. Maybe.
Fucking that band. Like
that was a Dan McNeil favorite that
ever heard
Catch
of.
You Hear Me Knocking.
I don't mind play them, but just that's our intro.
Listen, we're a podcast of old white men talking about comics. The music should be played by old white men.
That's true. I'm a big old 97s fan, though, I gotta say.
Hey, it's not a Chicago band. They're from Texas, but they were signed.
That must hurt you.
No, because
they're not from Chicago, but they're okay.
Anyway. Well, they're signed forever by the Great Chicago label.
Blood. Bloodshot.
Yes, yeah. Bloodshot Records. I had
that's
Freak
right.
Freeze.
Yeah, I forgot about
they're a Bloodshot band.
You're a big XRT favorite if you know your Chicago radio.
There you go.
Tonight at the Metro, old 97s.
Speaking of, and we talked about it on Twitter, farewell to Eddie Schwartz.
Yes, that's right, kiddo. I'm dead. I'm sorry I'm dead. I couldn't be here tonight.
That's how he talked.
Well, is he on Howard Stern or something?
No.
Who's this guy?
Overnight disc jockey in Chicago, and truly, I always compare him to Gene Shepard, who you would know as the narrator from A Christmas Story, really made his bones as a great overnight DJ in New York. And Eddie was that kind of storyteller and just, hey, it's 3 a.m, you think we can get a banana milkshake at this place? And he would, call for old restaurants and, hey, Eddie, I got a great banana milkshake. I'll be right over and bring it up. Between, that's great, kiddo. Thank you.
In between he and Paul Harvey and Stud Strickland, Chicago's got some of the America's greatest storytellers.
Bunch of blowhards there. Chicago.
That's
the Windy City.
Eddie was like 500 or 600 pounds. I mean, he was morbidly obese. His producer was more
400 pounds.
I'm not kidding. His newscaster also. Literally, I swear to God, I was never felt thinner. Never felt thinner than I did.
You were the skinny one.
I truly was the thinnest person there.
Of skinny guy, you're looking good.
Oh, thank you. Honestly, I'm so pleased because, granted, my fat face is on Newsarama, and I am the fattest guy there. However, if you compare that video to the Grant Morrison or Mike Richardson, some of the guys I spoke to in April, I'm getting there. I'm getting thinner.
Yes, you're looking good.
There's less of you.
Glad you're taking care of yourself.
Yes.
I do have a special...
glad you're not Eddie Schwartz in early days.
Because when you die, we're going to talk about you like you just did Eddie Schwartz. John Suntress was 700 pounds easy.
Chris's admission in the last episode. Mike Turner, I'm sorry. Hey, yeah, I heard you were a nice person. I didn't like your art. I'm sorry. I was cracking up.
That's so terrible. Some really good news I'd like to pass along, and also on behalf of everyone here, I'm happy to welcome Space Sector 2814's newest resident, Hallie Jordan Harrison.
Oh, Braxton! Braxton, I didn't know. Yep. When did that happen?
They hatched her yesterday.
Oh, almost on my birthday. You missed by a day.
Is this a message board person? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a long-time listener.
Oh, very nice.
Braxton
Harrison.
Yeah, good friend of ours.
Good chat. Congratulations,
I'm like, Braxton. I'm like, where's he going with Sector 20? Braxton. And then I'm like, oh, okay.
The Hallie Jordan.
There, yeah, very sweet. Very cute.
The kid was conceived while listening to an episode.
Excellent.
Right?
Excellent.
Come on.
I'm guessing the Russ Cochran EC episode, perhaps.
So Lincoln's birthday. Wow. February 12th?
Yeah,
yesterday.
There you go.
Wow.
Glad
missed it by a day, Braxton. One day we could have shared birthdays.
So congratulations, buddy.
That's me.
Very cool.
Well, hey, you guys want to talk some comics?
No. Okay.
No.
Comics?
What?
That's another thing. We've had some special guests on the last month, and we really haven't had a chance to really sit down and talk about what's been coming out lately.
I haven't read anything since then because I want to be fresh.
You've been storing it all up?
A book in a month. No, I've read everything. I've brought my books every week. Like, oh, I'm going to tell you, and then we don't get around to it. And then I go home and I record a show for myself. I listen to it, and then I delete it. I delete it.
That's really sad, Tom.
It's not that far off of reality.
You can't wait for Sam to get here, can you? You just...
No.
Nope. You got a lot of free time. Well, we could talk about...
I got no problem reading all my books every
week. New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
Half of these guys...
Want to talk about some of the announcements?
New York Comic Con?
Sure.
Yeah.
Tom? I can tell you about the people, as I was telling Tom before we started recording, the Silver Age creators that I pissed off this week.
Yeah, he specifically aimed for beloved creators of yesterday.
Nice. Just trampling. Just get out of the way, fatty. I'm trying to sell some sketches.
So you're trying to talk to Daniel Way.
Pretty much. I saw Daniel Way.
You weren't in an elevator with Stan Lee,
it all happened a couple things happened in Artist Alley. I did a great stand-up video interview with Gene Colan, and it went great, and he is awesome as always, and it was really great to see him out, and
how's he looking,
and
how's he doing,
he looked better, and I mean, he was sharp, so I mean, I'm sure that kind of thing takes a lot out of him.
I saw pictures of he and Adrian at the show, and he looked great.
Suspiciously good. Like, I think black magic might be involved.
Deal
with some sort of devil.
All the tables in Artist Alley are very tight.
Yeah.
And to get to him to record the video and everything, we had to pull out the table and everything for me to swing around and be by him.
He picked it up and let you through.
Oh, no. We had stout men to lift the table. That wasn't an issue. But coming back out afterwards, I bumped the table next to him, which was the great Ramona Freyden, ladies and gentlemen, co-creator of Metamorpho and the Silver Age signature Aquaman artist,
yep,
who was making a sketch.
And yeah, I'm like, hey, you know, she just shot me the dirtiest look. And I'm like, oh, Miss Frieden, I'm so sorry. And I'm sure, you know, I just screwed up Plastic Man, asshole. Yeah. So yeah, I felt like a jerk then. And then I saw Len Wein was sitting next to Herb Trimpe. And Pete from the Comic Book Club podcast, you know, he and I were switching off with video. And I'm like, ooh, Len Wein and Herb Trimpe. And he's like, oh, I really want to talk to Herb Trimpe. And I'm like, no problem. I'll talk to Len Wein. You talk to Herb Trimpe. We'll shoot him.
You go high, I go low. Let's double team these guys.
Exactly. So while he's...
Oh, that's an image I don't want in my head. So,
and they were next to Gary Friedrich, the co-creator of Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Among other great, you know, Bronze Age comics and stuff.
Yep. He's another one of those guys, one of the St. Louisans, came up with Denny O'Neill and... different time, but the St. Louis,
not that much. Around the same age as
Steve Gerber, and then Roy Thomas was kind of tied into that whole you know, St. Louis Mafia,
the St. Louis Invasion.
So, and I think
they called it the St. Louis Mafia back in the day.
I was hoping to interview Gary, but he said
that was Elvis.
He said he's hard of hearing, so he's like, you know, he goes, I might, you know, have trouble, and I'm like, oh, okay. No worries. He's like, I can do something on email. All right, fine. So while I was waiting, then James Syme showed up, and we were talking about WonderCon, and we happened to be talking close enough to Gary's table that at one point he goes, excuse me! And we're like, oh, we're sorry. Apparently we were like maybe blocking the view of his table. I got to be honest, there was a lot of table.
Not a whole line.
And yeah, it's like, Gary, you know, take a chill pill, pal. But I'm like, I'm sorry.
I've been a Ghost Rider.
So that was bad. And then my worst was with Dan DiDio on Friday. And he saw me in the morning. He's like, hey, how are you? Good to see you. I'm sure we'll be talking later. And I'm sure you'll be doing my voice. And I'm like, yes, good to see you. So at the end of the day, I saw him. And he's like, hey, how's it been? I'm like, pretty good. And I put my hand on his shoulder. And I'm like, hey, man, how was today? I'm like, were they tough on you on the panels? He's like, why? What are you talking about? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe, you know, Final Crisis, you know, a little shit for that or anything. No, not at all. What are you talking about? Don't jinx me. Everything was fine until you said something now. What are you talking about? And I'm like,
the only person that gave him shit was you.
Apparently, yeah. That's what he said. You're the first person to say something. That's what he said. I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh,
so, yeah. So those are my folk.
What are you talking about? I haven't been on an internet message board in months.
But actually, with Herb Trimpe, when we said hello to him, his first wife was a former Marvel bullpen colorist, Linda, and her last name starts with an F. I can't remember, but if you look at comic book artists, they have an old picture of Herb and his wife and everything. Well, Mrs. Trimpe was with them, and she had her press credential, and I saw, and I'm like, excuse me, are you Linda? And they both break into the biggest smiles because, of course, that was at least a wife ago, if, you know, I don't know, but it was a long time ago. And they both start laughing, and Herb goes, no, actually, Linda morphed into the current Mrs. Trimpe. And he's like, and I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I felt like the biggest jerk. And they're like, not at all. It happens at a lot of cons. And they were incredibly gracious about it. But I'm like, all right, I'm
foot
idiot.
In mouth.
Yes. Thank you. I think my work is done now. Good evening. And I left. It was, yeah. So those are my bad. Those are the bad experiences. And I had a lot of
good. Go sneeze on a baby now.
Pretty excellent. And I didn't. Did you get sick?
Tom? I did not get sick. I lost my voice a little bit, but I didn't get sick.
I'm stunned because really, I'm on Twitter and emails and stuff. Like, I can think of a dozen guys that are like,
you know,
got sick.
Here's the thing though, with comic book fans, weak. You know, like you look at all these like sort of scrawny men in like ill-fitting clothes wandering around, or just morbidly obese. The immune systems, hardly any of them.
Yeah, but they're walking petri dishes too, man. So I do kind of understand where it is. It's like, how do you do? I'm the Eastern distributor of the bubonic plague. Nice to meet you. It's like, yeah,
I left my house for the first time in 2 months.
Pretty much, man.
Yeah. It's bubbles. So.
It took me maybe 12 minutes to get really angry at people at cons, because I hate when people just like, I always get behind someone who's walking at a snail's pace and just like swinging whatever bag, or like they're fucking cardboard
horse bag.
Oh yeah, like this bag, and you can't walk past them at all, and they're just like, like there's nothing to look at. You know, all there is like some booth with girls dressed up like nurses. You know, like
okay, we want to see that. Yeah, that's, but some people like that.
Then
huh?
Just stop and stare.
Well, that's don't not
do,
cool.
But yeah, don't do like the stroll.
Hey, if they do that, they might fuck up their chances of being with that hot chick dressed as a nurse. Yeah, you know, right. I mean.
I'm being engaged. I guess I can't see how these guys are working their game by walking slowly away and blocking everyone else who's trying to get around.
We'll have a video with one of those hot nurses at Newsarama. I am not proud to admit.
Tom was behind you.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, that was me. Sorry.
John, I was trying to be polite. John, can you move to either sky completely or?
Their booth was right above our skybox.
And, so you were looking down their shirts.
Oh, easily. Yeah, nice. I had the periscope out. Absolutely.
Very nice.
But the video crew's like, hey, we got to get the nurses up here, and we're like, really? Come on, for us. And we're like, all right, fine. I didn't do the interview, but there is one over there.
You didn't have any pressing questions.
Did it take you to get into that outfit?
What's your favorite graphic novel?
Do you model yourself after Florence Nightingale or Clara Barton? I mean, really, who are your favorite nurses?
More of a Scarlet or a Baroness in private?
Perhaps Hoblet's Houlihan?
Samuel L. Jackson returns in the sequel to the best-selling anime of 2007, Afro Samurai Resurrection. Afro Samurai avenged his father and found a life of peace, but a beautiful and deadly woman is forcing him back into the game. Starring Samuel L. Jackson and Lucy Liu, with new beats from the RZA featuring 2 hours of extras. Get the Blu-ray and DVD on February 3rd. Afro Samurai Resurrection. One brother, one path, 1,000 deaths.
Visit AfroSamurai.com for more details.
Well, some of your interviews are now up on Newsarama. Great couple of minutes with Matt Fraction and Greg Rucka, and are the two that I've seen.
Yeah.
With more to come. You and your interview style, you have a very went on Word Balloon. You're very laid back, very conversational. Is it hard for you on the convention floor to say, okay, I need to.
Hank is being humped by Coco.
Hank's getting mauled by the.
She's going back for seconds. I'm sorry.
I understand. No, it's hilarious, actually. Yeah.
She tried to hump some
chaos in here.
Oh, my God.
So, no, what I was going to is it hard for you as an interview to, because I know that you like to be able to spend, like, you know, 45 minutes or an hour with someone and really get into in-depth conversations. Is it hard for you to try and do a 5-minute on the floor interview?
No, I mean, it's, you know, honestly, it reminds me of back when I was covering boxing or you know, covering sports for the Score in general. It was fun. It's very much like sports, you know, like right after a game, kind of you got to do your quick hit while you got the athlete before, you know, they get the showers and stuff. So, no, it was easy.
And
it's different. It's a different head. That's
a lot of the comic pros are sweating heavily at that time, just like an athlete after a big, or they're punch drunk.
They're wearing towels.
They're confused.
Well, and also you don't want it.
They're nude.
I mean, and really, New York is becoming more like San Diego, where real business is happening as well for a lot of these guys. So they don't have a lot of time. So a lot of guys do only have like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So you hit the hits. But, you know, you do forget things. Like I talked to John Hickman, and we talked all about Secret Warriors. Forgot to talk about the Fantastic Four, which was the big announcement at the con. I mean, you know, stupid stuff like that. But no, for the most part, I mean, it's good because you've got a rapport with these people because you've done the long interviews, and now it's just a quick hello. So
I went up to the person I probably had the longest conversation with. I went up to Joe Kelly because Man of Action had a table, and Four Eyes number 2. They were selling it.
Really?
There,
really?
So. Oh yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, good. That's
time. So I went up to him. I told him how much I enjoyed I Kill Giants, and I had read Bad Dog on the plane over, and you know, I gave him a quick critique of Bad Dog, but we're having a nice conversation. And then there's always the point where I'm not really good at hawking the show to people,
right?
And at the end, I had this moment where I was like, I also do a podcast, like with a mix of like shame and just start of like. Just quite like, never mind. And then I was like, oh, no, it's not a big deal. I'm sorry. I'll just go now. I'll just walk away. I'm sorry, Joe Kelly.
Because, I saw Joe and Steve, I got cards from. Yeah, Joe and Steve Siegel were the Men of Action guys. Yeah.
Did you get cards from
Tom? I did not get a card.
Jeez. I have cards, so don't worry. Don't worry.
My cards
are your cards.
Listen, I'm not good at. That's not what I'm good at.
It's not Tom's fault.
It's not what I'm for the show.
Yeah. You know, it's. Well, and for the video stuff, I was sharing with Pete from Comic Book Club, and he was doing video things. And a lot of times we wanted to go after the same people. So. I don't know if Pete was doing this, but certainly, like, when he was videotaping somebody afterwards.
You'd see another mic sneak in.
Yeah, exactly. pretty much. No, but I would. I'd like, you know, for guys that I hadn't approached before, I would say, hey, you know, I do this podcast as well for Newsarama. Please, you know, come on the show in a couple months or whatever, and we'll talk about your books. And I did that for Joe, and I did that for Steve Siegel. And,
did you buy anything? Any books?
No, Richard Starkings gave me David Hines' Strange Embrace
book. Oh, okay.
And you know what I did buy that I meant to bring this tonight, and I'm really sorry I didn't because I think everyone in the store would have gotten a kick out of seeing them. From Alex Saviak, I bought two daily strips of the Spider-Man comic strip.
Oh, nice.
And it's great because they're very, like, non-action Lichtensteinian kind of sequences of just, like, there was one where Spider-Man's outside of a window and he's looking at Aunt May and he's like, oh, I don't want to scare her. And he's like, wait a minute, what's she doing? And she's just sitting there with this very neutral look of on her face. And he's like, oh, she's watching TV with this big, like, word balloon, you know, thought balloon with a big exclamation point.
Oh, you know what I bought? That Lichtenstein, Roy, I like to call him. Royale.
Royale Fuchs.
Royale.
Because you're tight.
I had bought Comic Book Comics number 3 from Fred Van Lente and Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
I was reading it on the plane ride back, and they have a big section about how Roy pretty much based his whole career, well, on just stealing art.
Seriously, like the most successful swiper ever. Yeah, it's like, oh, what wonderful pop art. And it's like, yeah, that was done by Gene Colan in 1958. Thanks for copying it, Roy.
Thank you, Art World, for ignoring
the actual creator.
Generations of
thank you for using a crop tool.
Yeah. I didn't buy a lot. All I really got was Four Eyes number 2, because I was so excited. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. I want to read that.
It's coming out next week, I believe. Oh, okay. He didn't explain to me why it was late. I didn't ask. I was like, what's the problem with this? I got a Comic Book Comics number 3.
Very cool. And I saw Freddy. He was awesome.
I think this might have been the only two things I actually
bought.
I'm not going to buy a hardcover and fly back with it. I mean,
Did you go to any panels?
I'm not a big panel person.
Okay. Because I was bummed that I didn't go to any panels. I didn't feel like last year I missed Ralph Bashke, who I love. You know, Ralph Bashke, did the Wizard. He did the film Wizards. He made that film with Frazetta called Fire and Ice.
Oh, I know that one, yeah.
Okay. Sure. And he did Cool World.
Okay, okay.
The Lord of the Rings,
the animated Lord of the Rings. Yeah, I forget about that, yeah.
Rotoscope stuff or the animated?
And also did, back in like the 50s, was one of the Terry Toon animators for Mighty Mouse and Heckle and Jekyll and Deputy Dog, all that stuff. So yeah, really cool.
Felix the Cat stuff? No.
He might have, I don't know. Yeah. Oh, he did the Spider-Man 67 series, the classic old original cartoon, yeah. Great guy, really cool guy. Missed him. And I missed him last year, and I'm still kicking myself.
He could be dead this year.
You know, you hate to say that, but when you're an artist alley and you see the Golden Age guys, is this the last time I'm going to see Jerry Robinson?
Irwin Hansen
was there, yes. Hasten, I believe.
Hasten, yes. Carmine
was there.
Did you say hi?
I said hello. Tell me out. He's like, hey, you want to interview with Carmine? Honestly, bring him something. Honestly, because he's an old guy, bring him vodka. Bring him a fifth of vodka. And I'm like, all right, Jimmy, I'll keep that in mind next time.
I don't even want to know what he would say
if you brought him a fifth of vodka. Because
he was not someone who seemed like he really cared about it. He called Jim Shooter fat.
Do you remember you?
I don't know.
Don't know.
And I didn't stick around long enough. I don't want my last time. I don't, like we were saying before, you don't know with some of the older guys.
The last time.
You don't want the last one to be awkward.
Right.
It's like, I'd rather walk away on a high note than have, like, a really awkward conversation. But they were all in one line of tables, too, which was kind of cool.
That's usually the J. David Spurlock line. It's,
Spurlock did have his Vanguard booth.
Yeah.
And that's his publishing thing. And Steranko was over there. I didn't even have time to talk to Steranko.
Yeah, it's usually Steranko and Carmine.
But this was on regular Artist Alley, from us. Yeah. And Dick Ayres, the great Marvel inker, was there.
Jerry
Robinson was right next to him.
I saw they did a panel with Jerry Robinson.
Yes.
I saw that they did about Batman. He was talking with... Oh, God, now I can't remember it.
I can't remember who else was on that panel either, but he was talking about creating the Joker. I think celebrating the Dark Knight success.
Is anyone going to... I know Marvel and DC occasionally record their specific panels.
But nobody seems
to... But the ones that I would actually like to listen to... Because, like, I don't care to listen to a podcast of a bunch of people ask what the ending to stories are.
Right, and but then something like Jerry Robinson talking about the creation.
Or
of the
even, like, strangely enough, they had a Green Lantern panel.
Yeah, which Jeff Johns.
Well, it's 50 years.
Yeah, that's 50 years. Yeah, they showcase, yeah.
That's not up as one of the DC podcasts. I was like, I would rather listen to that than
DC Nation. Right.
Yeah, than DC Nation.
Well, Jerry Robinson specifically, I know, was on a great one from San Diego last year.
Yeah.
And really goes into, had great Golden Age stories as far as that goes. And also, I know Marvel was doing at their booth podcast interviews just one on one with all their creators.
Yeah.
That was for Marvel.com.
They also had a live cam at Marvel.com, which
that's what they were doing. Yeah.
They caught Josh Flanagan from iFanboy dancing to a horrible song. He was just kind of sitting there, and one of the Marvel guys was like, "There's a camera pointed
right at you."
That's what they were doing, because I saw Bendis like recording. That's when I first saw Bendis and everything, and. Yeah,
he needs
fun.
To stay off camera a little more, I think.
No, he looked good. He looked all right.
Was he wearing pants?
Yes, he was. It's a new era in the Bendis household because Brian wears pants now, which is great.
Oh my goodness.
Good for him. But you know who's hot, unbelievably in person? Brett, whatever her name is,
Brett Blair.
Ooh. Yeah, she's gorgeous.
She's a cutie.
Well, you know, on TV, she's just a cutie, but man, in person, it's like, how you doing? God damn.
How you doing?
Look at you.
How you
hey,
doing?
How you doing? Exactly.
How you doing?
No, she was...
So overall, what were you guys, what were your sort of feelings about the show? Was it a good show?
It was
overall?
Excellent show. Honestly, I thought, I'm sure they had more attendance this year than last year, or last April.
Uh-huh.
And
I like that it was all sort of in one area, too. Like, Artist Alley wasn't in that upstairs.
Were you there last year?
I wasn't there last
year. Okay, I think it's the same basically out that they had last year.
It was the same setup as last year.
Nice. Yeah. The Artist Alley 2 years ago was a disaster of just, it was...
Wasn't worse than Podcast Alley.
And Podcast Alley was in the same little corner as well, and the only guys
They moved it to the middle this year. It wasn't in back corner.
It wasn't that far from the back corner.
But they didn't have the performance art stage this year?
No beanbag those like, they had all those throw pillows and beanbags you could like sack out at. Yeah, they didn't have that this year. I only saw the Raging Bullet guys. Those are the only guys I said hi to.
I walked over there and I said hello to a few people. A lot of people were recording, so I didn't want to walk up and be like, hey, how's it going?
Stop what you're doing. I'm Tom Caters. I saw Keith of the Comic Geek Speak guys. And I saw Peter Rios, and I really wanted to say hi to him.
I talked to Peter for a little while.
I'm sorry if you happen to be listening, Peter.
Oh, you mean Kevin? Kevin from the
Comic Geek Speak? Maybe it was Kevin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Kevin, Brian, Peter.
It was Kevin.
Yeah,
you're right, it was Kevin.
Kevin's a good guy.
So, yeah, I saw him twice just by himself, and I'm like, hey, man, how's it going? So, you know, that was cool.
Where's your crew?
Exactly. they were busy, man.
They all had T-shirts with their names on the back of it.
Really?
Oh, and I saw pants. I did see pants very briefly, and I was happy to see pants because he and I hung out in August in Chicago. Nice guy.
Pants is a really nice guy. One of the things that he's done, which is cool and ungodly expensive, I would imagine, he's got to own close to like 100 pages out of 52 out of the series.
Wow.
Jesus.
Yeah, he's got like almost like complete issues, I think, out of 52.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's kind of, he's like, yep, that's when I'm going to buy 52 pages.
The entire run.
Every that's why like Alex Sabiak always sells the Spider-Man strips, and he's the penciler for the Sunday strip and the inker over Larry Lieber, of all people, Stan's brother, for the Daily. So that's always kind of cool. And that's, I'm like, you know, I don't know how long comic strips are going to be around. I really want to get the hard copies while they still exist. And, you know, because we talked about that, actually. If you're interested on the floor interviews I did for War Balloon, the audio interviews, we talked about the disappearing comic strips from newspapers and how that might be affecting the...
Mind me asking?
Like, how's he doing?
No.
How much are the strips? Well, he cut me a deal. He said... For Peter Parker only strips, he charges like 40, and then if Spidey's in one panel, it's 60, two panels, 83, 100, and then if there's like more heroes or famous villains, then it's even more expensive. Mm-hmm. And
you picked up three Aunt May panels for $15.
Exactly.
$45 for three.
He cut me a deal, two for 100, and the one only had one panel of... This great, and this is why it was very like
this one's got Spidey's foot.
It was one of those classic half Peter, half Spidey faces.
Oh, that's cool.
Because Aunt May's complaining, and she's just like, "Oh, Peter, you're busy with your life. You can't be bothered with my problems." And this great thought balloon: there are some problems even Spider-Man can't solve. Which I mean, that's the thing. These two things are going to look great framed, and they really are. It's that's awesome. This very like kind of Lichtensteinian sort of ironic soap opera moment of Spider-Man. So I was very happy.
I tell you, if you ever want to talk classic strips and strip art,
Garfield.
Andy Parks is your guy. He has a collection of classic newspaper strips that is unbelievable.
Obsessive.
You can tell it's a passion. I mean, it's
that's just a nice way.
It's a passion.
Yeah.
Passion.
So yeah,
passionate about. I have a passion for comic strips.
But I have to laud my advanced copy of Walking Dead, the latest Greg Rucka novel that'll be coming out in April. So he's like, "John, here you go."
Wow.
I'm like, "Very nice." Wow. Thank you.
Have you gotten Chris? Chris, have you gotten
one? Did you get one in the mail?
I'm supposed to have a thank you in it. So.
Oh, no kidding. That's awesome. There you go, man.
I just won. I had the whole house, and he came up with a flush.
Exactly.
I don't know that for sure, but it was mentioned that I might get.
What the fuck is he thanking you for?
Yeah. Because I took him for like water and beer and coffee at Wizard World Chicago.
Thank you. Thank you for staying away from my family.
Are you reading Black Lightning Year One?
Yes, I am.
Isn't that freaking awesome?
Speaking of Greg Rucka's family, because of course it's
being written by Jen Van Meter.
It's awesome.
Man, it is so good. And I just interviewed Jen on Word Balloon, and Greg and I talked about that, and he was just like, "That was a really nice interview."
I love that series.
I love Jen. I'd fight you for her if I had any chance. I talked about
this with you last week about how when people think of Black Lightning, they just think of like the jive talking street guy from the 70s, and they forget that the whole concept of that character was he pretended to be like that to cover up who he really was. Everyone just thinks like, "Oh, he was just the guy with the big afro fighting," you know, but it wasn't just that. And she's done a really great job of updating that for a modern audience.
Explaining how he got from that to where he is now.
Not all that different from the original concept. The concept is almost exactly the same, just, you know, the stuff around it has been shifted around and it's written a little bit more modern.
The spine of the story is the Tony Isabella, Trevor Von Eden story. Yeah. But then, you know, they have all these home scenes that you didn't see in the original run. And she does this amazing job of connecting that original run from the 70s, his 90s series, and what we've seen in current continuity for like the last 10 years. And she makes sense of it. And as Superman was in the original run as well, but she it's great. It really is great. I if you're not reading the bi-weekly, I think it comes out every two weeks.
Yeah,
definitely pick it up when it's a trade, because this is like it's really the best year one story I've read.
And the Cully, it's been my favorite one so far. The Cully Hammer.
Cully Hammer is amazing.
Sorry, it's better than Teen Titans Year One even.
Whoa. Really?
Whoa!
Story wise, just overall, it's just a better story.
It is fantastic.
Yeah, that was the thing. I enjoyed Teen Titans Year One, but more because of Carl Kerschel's art than.
Carl Kerschel was at the New York Comic.
He was so freaking good.
You tell him to stop everything and draw Flash.
He was talking to some lady, and I didn't want to like.
A nice looking lady, pretty lady.
She was pretty good looking. It might be good enough for him.
I'm kidding.
I don't even.
Two of us in a double feature. I'm a rock and roller. She's a science teacher. I send her looks. They don't reach her, she does not know I'm in love with her. Later on, it's no better, she wants to take a walk. So I let her, I watch her go and then I'll go and get her. I have to spell it out for her. La la la, I'm in love with the four-eyed girl.
Well, talking about Greg and Jen, well, Greg's got some big projects coming
up. What's their address? Do you know what their address is now?
I do.
Everyone obviously knows that he's taken over Detective. Now it's been
It's too late to get the thank you if it's not already in the books. So quit kissing his ass.
No,
it's true. I got to check. I got to check and see if Chris is in the acknowledgements.
I'll be calling you tomorrow morning.
Last goddamn time you're getting water.
he's doing Nightwing and Flamebird in action.
Nightwing and Flamebird, and then what's this Superman World of New Krypton?
He's co-writing it with James Robinson.
That's exactly right.
When did they announce that?
That came up at the panel. That
okay.
came up
World at the of panels, New Krypton.
Yes.
World.
I think originally that the guy who was writing Green Arrow, Black Canary.
Andrew Kreisberg.
Was supposed to be writing it, but now it's James Robinson and Greg Rucka.
Yeah, and that's cool. And he talked about working with James because I liked Greg's street level Superman. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really interesting.
This is not going to be street level.
No, this is on Krypton. So, yeah, and he said it's been really fun working with James. And I do think I love both of their work individually, much like Johns.
I already want to know what the Thought Machine is.
Oh, the Thought the
Thought Machine.
Well, yeah, it was the Thought Beasts.
Oh, Thought Beasts. That's what it is. Thought Beasts.
You remember those, Tom? Yes. I'm guessing Tom might be the only other person. Yeah, it's like these beasts have like a widescreen like
head.
Yeah, head, yeah. Exactly. And it's like, oh, it's thinking about killing me right now, and that's what you see before it happens. So it's a great cool. visual. It really is. That's one of my favorite
Somewhere Nelson Bridwell is like smiling. He's like, someone else remembers the Thought Beast of Krypton. Right.
And Mort Weisinger down in hell is laughing his ass off. Hey, that's just based on the sad stories I hear about Mort Weisinger. Yeah.
World of New Krypton is a 12-issue miniseries that's coming out.
Great.
It's a great. I like the idea that Kandor is full sized and that there is a Krypton world, a Kryptonian world.
I think it's interesting. I think it's funny. It's funny because it brings out a certain thing in Superman fans that I don't think has been evident in a long time, is where a lot of people are like, oh, there's more Kryptonians. Superman isn't unique.
The last son of Krypton anymore.
He's not the last son of Krypton anymore.
Right.
Which I think is kind of funny because, if anything, I think it displays that he's more unique for what he is, as opposed to the other Kryptonians. Yeah, for what makes him who he is. As opposed to the other Kryptonians who seem to have a lot of issues on picking out who's good and bad.
Well, now compass doesn't seem to work as well for the Kryptonians. Yeah.
Now he is the only Kryptonian from Earth.
Yes, he's an outsider of both worlds. Yeah. When you get down to it, which is great. I think that's fantastic.
I think it's going to be interesting, too, to sort of see, you know, like the attitude of the Kryptonians, because if you look at like, I mean, they were stuck in a bottle for all this time, and now it's, I mean, you look at, I can't think of the character's name, the Supergirl's mother.
Allura.
Yeah. Like what she's doing to make sure it never happens again kind of thing. I mean, I think that's where she's coming from, is like, she's going to make sure no matter what, she doesn't care about human life or anyone else, that something like that will never happen again to Krypton. And it's sort of interesting to see how that's going to play out. And like Tom said, you know, the difference between her attitude and their attitudes and what makes Superman Superman is not necessarily that he's, you know, that he's super powered. It's what he does with that and why. And
well, Greg said too that it's like Krypton has always been this almost, you know, still photograph or postcard that he could look at, and this very idyllic, you know, society. Right.
They bring it up in the last issue where there's a part where he's like, I imagined it was going to be, it was only pictures to me. Yeah. I imagined everyone would be like me now that it's here, you know, like, they're not.
Yeah.
What
I
they're dicks.
Well, yeah, it's like seeing a postcard of New York your entire life and then going there.
And then
it's,
actually seeing a wino pissing in the street.
It's not
welcome to New York.
It takes the luster off a little bit.
A chud.
A chud. The hell is a chud?
Cannibalistic.
Oh, God.
You know what's awesome? We had a great nerd moment. Matt Brady, Vanita Rogers, myself, and Brendan. And Brendan, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting your last name, but one of the other writers from Newsarama, we're all having dinner Saturday night, and Matt is telling this story, and he goes, remember that 1997 cover of Entertainment Weekly that had the cast picture of the Star Trek Next Generation? And all of us in unison, yes.
Yes.
And I'm like, thank you. I'm like, that would be our nerd moment. All right, there you go. Exactly. We're like nuclear. We're like mathematicians. Like, oh, the Pythagorean theorem. Yes, thank you. Yes,
there's also some intriguing news about Jonathan Hickman, as we mentioned earlier.
Yes,
Fantastic Four with Dale Eaglesham.
What a great team up.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be awesome.
I I'm really loving what Miller and Hitch are doing right now in Fantastic Four. I think that's a great ride, too. But they are following up with a great team. And John, man, Secret Warriors was so good that first issue.
It was better than I picked it up because I need something to read on the
on
plane.
The can.
Well, I wasn't that interested. I was like, I'll pick up a few extra books. And I was pretty impressed by it. Yeah.
It was great that the back matter that he put in things like Nightly News were actually really incorporated in the story of Nightly News, but it's there in that first issue. Sure. I mean, everyone gets pissed off at a $3.99 first issue, but I gotta say,
that thing was filled.
Yeah, and it was, and it really wasn't just BS of like, you know, oh, this is their sketches and whatever. I mean, no, this was really like,
I think
important to the story.
In a weird way, it's like the perfect match for him, because if there's anything he does really well, it's like big concepts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if there's anything the Fantastic Four demand is for someone to come up with an idea big enough for them.
Yep.
And to not just focus on the soap opera, but to make sure it's not just enough to have Ben fight with Johnny. You got to have them fight in an alternate dimension. You know, that's
sure.
That's the part that makes the Fantastic Four fun.
When their heads switch.
Yeah, it's like that. It's not just two guys arguing in a room. It's two guys arguing in a room where gravity is reversed. You know, that's
yeah, right.
That's really in why that book
it works.
That's really why that book works.
I have to say, when Miller first took over Fantastic Four, I did not like that first arc that he did. I didn't care for it at all.
That New Earth? No.
No,
and former Mrs. Fantastic.
No, yeah, the first three or four issues of it, and then I've been reading it since then, and even though I didn't care for it all that much, I went back and wanted to see if it got any better, and it really did.
It did.
It got a lot better. The last arc was fantastic.
Do you think
no pun intended.
Do you think it's odd that the most quintessential Marvel family has been sort of sequestered from all the big events? In Marvel, in a weird way, like there's such a premium put on mostly everything else to be part of Dark Reign, but the Fantastic Four are just kind of
off on their own.
Just kind of got shoved off.
Did they announce a Dark Reign miniseries? Because like Secret Invasion, there was
that whole miniseries was just about why they weren't, you know,
why they were off in space, not part of it. You know, it was funny, and. I watched your Matt Fraction interview today, and just a little thing that I picked out of it, and sort of the sarcastic bastard in me.
No, tell me.
At the end of the interview, and he was talking about how him and Bendis are taking the two quintessential families, the Avengers and the X-Men,
the pretzel roll.
What about the Fantastic Four? Aren't they the quintessential family of the Marvel universe?
Did he specifically say family? I didn't remember.
Yeah, he was tired, and I mean, he was
tired.
Yeah, I'm not trying to pick on, but it's almost like it's a mindset with Marvel of the Fantastic Four aren't what they truly are, which is the origin of Marvel.
Yeah, the first family.
Yeah, and it was just one of those things where it wasn't intentional. I'm sure it wasn't. I'm not trying to pick on Matt at all for saying it. I'm just saying it's almost like this mindset at Marvel where the Fantastic Four are an afterthought. In whatever it is that they do nowadays.
Because I think...
I'm hoping that's going to change. I'm just saying, currently, it seems like...
Well, and I think only because, much like Brubaker on Captain America, they didn't want to interrupt what Miller and Hitch were doing. And unfortunately, I mean, and this is just me speculating in the fact that Hitch was drawing it. Who knows if we're going to get into another like late book kind of issue.
I just think it's really interesting because I think you see a lot of people talk about how the Fantastic Four haven't been selling that well. And part of me, though, thinks it's not everything else that Marvel's putting out. They're really pushing follow Dark Reign, follow what happens, and then the Fantastic Four is off to the side. So to me, I'm like, well,
they're
of
not promoting
people,
it in ancillary works outside of its own book.
A hard book to write, I think.
I think you're right about that.
I don't know.
That.
I think what's his name was doing a fantastic job.
McDuffie
was doing a great job.
Yeah. Coming off of Straczynski, I agree.
I
thought Straczynski did a
fairly good job. But
that's why, guys, look at the list. I would disagree because it went from, first of all, the last mistake I think Marvel made with the Fantastic Four, and they immediately corrected it, was taking Wade off the book, and Raringo back in the day. But honestly, Straczynski, I thought, had an interesting run. I agree with you about Dwayne.
I'm not saying the books are bad. I'm not saying
they're trying to put quality people on there. A-list people.
More so like what Tom is saying is like they don't seem to be part of the bigger picture of Marvel. It's like you had Planet Hulk, World War Hulk, the Hulk's involved. Now you have Iron Man involved in everything. Yes. You have the Avengers. When was the last time the Fantastic Four were a big part of anything in the Marvel Universe outside of their own book?
I see what you're
saying.
I'm
not saying they necessarily have to be a part, but when was the last time there was an event around the Fantastic Four?
No, you're right about
there's
that.
There's just something that's missing. You almost can't put your finger on it.
That's why I want Jonathan Hickman to make the Fantastic Four awesome.
Yes.
No kidding.
Absolutely.
And Slott told me that they are going to figure into the weekly Spider-Man story coming up.
Okay, well, maybe they're trying to change that.
Yeah, so, and Dan's a great, you know, I mean, obviously his thing run I thought was fantastic. I think he's got a good handle on
the
Fantastic
Four. I don't think it's a case where they're not trying to put good people on it. I think it's just been a string of situations where they've put the Fantastic Four, for whatever reason, the creators haven't been part of whatever the big thing is that's going on. They've just slowly drifted off, they're just sort of, you don't see them in other books really all that much. Well, you know, like they kind of just disappeared a little bit for a while, which seemed weird because, like you've said this before, the Skrulls invade. Who are the Skrulls? The Skrulls are Fantastic Four.
Yeah, they were tangentially involved in a minor event, and that Chris was the Cole Black, War. The Black Panther Storm wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, that was a point of contention that kind of like Straczynski is like, hey, I didn't sign on to write Storm as part of the FF.
Right.
And it kind of messed with Straczynski's story. And I think there is that balance sometimes of, do we want them involved in the big event or do we want them, you know?
Speaking of him, that's another thing. I'm really looking forward to him writing Brave and the Bold because I think that is a perfect book for him
because
it's going to be off to the side and he's going to be able to do whatever
they relaunch it. For him with the new number one, so people actually buy it.
Well, the thing is, it hopefully won't be tied into any ongoing continuity, and he's going to be able to play with any toy in the toy box on that.
Although Dan Juergens has a very cool Brave and Bold coming up with Booster Gold that he mentioned to me when I interviewed him, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Did they announce Jeff Lemire's Nobody? Did we know about that before this?
The Vertigo?
Yes, he's announced it.
Okay.
I didn't see it come out in New York necessarily, but it's been on news
around that same time.
So yeah, it has been announced. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
You know what sucks? I was so on the floor with the video camera getting things. Honestly, I would like ask Vanita and Matt at the end of every day. And I knew shit was announced, but yeah, I'm like, okay, what did they announce?
There's a new Doom Patrol.
Yeah, Doom Patrol
with the Metal Men.
Isn't that awesome? And Giffen is going to write it. Aaron DeMattis.
Yeah,
it's the old jail. It's the old Justice League creative team.
Really looking forward to that.
Kevin Maguire
backups are going to be awesome.
Oh yeah. DeMattis and Giffen writing the story. I think it's fantastic.
Is DeMattis writing it along with Giffen?
Giffen's writing the Doom Patrol part, and DeMattis is writing the Metalman part.
Is it DeMattis or is it DeMatteis?
I always said DeMatteis, but I have no
it
idea.
It probably is. Yeah. I'm probably screwing.
And then who's doing the Doom? Do we know who's doing the Doom?
Matthew Clark.
Yes. Yeah, that's the guy who got. He got really upset.
He was sort of upset that didn't mention his.
What else did they announce? The new Mutants?
Yeah.
They're relaunching New Mutants? I'm looking forward to it. I thought it was a fantastic book.
It's an interesting concept.
I do like the Where Are They Now idea of the new Mutants. I think that's kind of interesting.
I think it works on a couple levels because the New Mutants, I thought, were... The ultimate example of sort of the victims of all the bad stuff we think about the 90s.
Right.
Like, the bad things that happened at Marvel and DC very much happened to...
The New Mutants.
The New Mutants were very much victims of that.
Yeah.
And they kind of... And in a weird way, you have this group of kids that ideally someday will replace the Cannonball, but that will never happen. You know, Cannonball's never going
to replace
Cyclops. They're
supposed to be the replacement of the X-Men.
So I'm interested to see, because I think Zeb is a really good writer.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested to see, like, if they take, like, a tact of, like, what if you are supposed to be the next, you know, big the next in line, but it never really happened. You know, like all of them
you're
just
constantly
sort of
in
like,
the minor leagues. You
yeah, like
the
what
big,
happens
yeah,
when you just sort of don't get there? Where
James Robinson talked about that with Jimmy Olsen. He's and framed it as in the 20 years that will never happen. Jimmy Olsen will be the editor at the at the Daily Planet, but it's the 20 years that will never happen.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of happening now with the Titans and the JLA, the adult Titans.
Yeah,
you know that second tier of Robin.
They're almost as old as their mentors.
Nightwing, Red Arrow, you know, Wally and Donna. And it's, they need, and I know that they have the book with Winnick, and now I know Sean's going to be taking it over during the Titans, Teen Titans crossover, but they really do kind of need their own stage because they are kind of quasi-adults.
Yeah.
And it is their time. And I'm
glad
to
like that Titans book back in the day, the one that was just Titans, where it was them.
Jay Ferber and Devin Grayson.
I always liked it because it was very much like, about the fact that they were the next group down, you know, and they would socialize with each other. So that's kind of why I'm excited for that New Mutants book. Though I think I've always thought that in the last couple of years that like Young Mutants or New Mutants or whatever the hell the name was for it was a good place to actually see new characters.
No,
which is the only
enough,
thing
yeah,
a little bit
yeah.
that I think is a little disappointing.
Well, I don't think you're gonna end. I don't think you're gonna get away from that either. There'll be some X book that, you know,
we'll have new I always thought, though, for as much as I didn't like the main X Men character, they did go out of their way to introduce new characters a lot. Like,
with there's
a lot of stuff that was announced that we really won't know a tone until the current event finishes. Like when Ultimatum finishes, we'll see what the new Ultimate line looks like.
Oh, don't get me started.
Well, there's that, and I would say the same thing with they mentioned a bunch of post Battle for the Cowl books that are going to be happening in Batman, but you really can't get into detail
Batman
without giving
Robin.
Red Robin. The Final Crisis Aftermath books, which Ivan Brandon's writing one.
Yeah, I'm really psyched about it. And it's involving Nemesis, who has always been one of my favorite third-tier heroes.
And Matt Sturgis is writing one. I tell
you, Ivan Brandon has written one of my favorite books this year. And thank you, Sal. Yeah, for saying you need to read
the Faces of Evil Cobra.
Oh, yeah, that was excellent. Oh, yeah. And Ivan's one of those guys that I always love to see at cons, and I did not see him at all.
He's got that Viking book coming out.
Nick Klein.
Yeah, from Image.
Who's doing the art on
it. Vikings are the new black, I think.
I don't remember.
They're everywhere. Vikings everywhere.
I don't remember a lot of specific subjects, but I also think it's interesting how everyone of the big two are nudging closer to digital-only products. And I know Jay Ferber was mentioned to be co-writing something that's only going to be at Marvel.com. And certainly there's the Spider-Woman motion comic. That'll be interesting.
Well, Monday there's a presidential Marvel special comic online that Matt Fraction wrote with Spider-Man and Abraham Lincoln.
Are you joking?
No, that's serious.
Yeah. See, there we go. I know. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of... It's very... Yeah, it's very... Because Ivan did a Hulk book online, or a Hulk story, I should say. I want to call it a book, but it's not. Yeah. But yeah, and it really... it's... You almost do have to pay attention to what's happening digitally as well now as on the stands, because it's interesting, and we're seeing a lot of breakout guys that have always, you know, done good Image books and books on their own. They're now starting to get the opportunities to write with the big
two. Ivan's a good writer.
The Image table, the Image table was awesome at the con, because it was never incredibly insane. And you could just walk up and talk to me. I talked to the guys that did Jersey Gods. I don't know if you
read. Oh, yeah. I said hi to those guys, too.
I saw Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey.
Oh, how are they doing?
They were like drinking tea, and they had these top hats on and canes.
Can't be bothered now. Thank you, young Tom.
Yeah, it was weird. They kept referring to, like, was nice that the colonies had such a nice little convention.
This is quaint. New Amsterdam has certainly come a long way.
all these years. We forgive you.
But anything else from the con that you guys are excited about?
I know Norton will probably tell you more.
Do you want to hear about the one rude thing I did to somebody?
Absolutely, I do.
So we were at the...
Because it's a rule. Tom has to do
One listener. I was at Stitch, which was the place where iFanboy was having their party.
Uh-huh, cool.
And it was pretty crowded at the bar. And at one point, I was like, oh, fuck it. And I just pretty much just elbowed my way past somebody who was just standing there, this guy. So I just, I pretty much shoved my way right through him. I get out to the bar, and he's kind of looking at me, and I'm like, oh, great.
The guy you know.
Yeah. Now he wants to fight me or something. And he's like, oh, aren't you Tom Caters? And I was like, son of a bitch. And he actually... I forget what his name is, but he lives in New York, and he's opening a comics shop, Bergen Street Comics in Brooklyn.
Oh, cool. There you go.
And he gave me a card, and I was like, I've made a really big effort not to be rude, and in fact, to be like the nicest I've ever been to strangers, and you're the first person I kind of lost my patience with. And I
wear that as a badge of honor.
And I said, I will mention your comic book shop to apologize for the fact that I almost knocked you over.
Congratulations, you're the person in New York that made me snap.
Yeah, that made me snap. But it wasn't him. It was the general situation. He just happened to be
in your
between
eye
me and the bartender.
And you never wanted to be.
So once again, what's the name of the comic shop?
Bergen Street Comics, I believe. It's on Bergen Street in Brooklyn.
Very cool.
There you go.
This portion of Around Comics is brought to you by Netflix. Right now, you can start a free 2-week trial by going to netflix.com/aroundcomics. At Netflix, you'll find over 100,000 titles to choose from, including classics and new releases, as well as TV series. Plans start from as low as $4.99 per month, and you can keep each movie as long as you want with no late fees ever. Netflix has free shipping both ways, and you can expect your next selection to be delivered in about one business day. Now watch some movies and TV series over the internet for no extra charge. I use this service on my Xbox 360 and personal laptop and love it. So head over to netflix.com/aroundcomics and get started with your free trial today.
With Karen Berger, the Vertigo editor. Awesome. It was wonderful meeting her. David Lloyd, Len Wein, Jeff Parker and Len Kirk together. It was great, nice. Great talking to them. And I hadn't seen
Agents Jeff. Of Alice number one was freaking awesome.
Save it for the next one.
Love it. Yes.
Oh, I'd agree. So yeah, those are some guys right off the bat that I was. Paul Cornell. It was so great to meet Paul Cornell and have a chance to talk to him.
Was he drinking tea with Kieran and Jamie?
Yeah, he was drinking
but
beer.
But his pinky was out while he was sipping his beer.
I so talked to him for a while at Stitch, and he's pretty English.
He is pretty English. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
His wife was there. Oh, you know what's awesome? I wanted to interview Paul, and actually Andy Diggle was there, and I would love to have talked to Andy as well. But Pete's like, can I talk to Andy Biggle? And I'm like, I got to be cool and
He said Biggle.
Can I talk to Randy Biggle?
So while he was talking to Diggle, there was a guy, and I'm like, should I know you? And he's like, my name's Jack. And I'm like, oh, very nice to meet you. I'm like, Jack.
Kirby.
Jack. And I go, Jack what? And he's like, no, not Jack. Jock.
Sure.
Oh, it's Jack. Exactly. And I'm like, oh, man, you kick ass. And yeah, so I got to talk with Jack. And I didn't unfortunately, I didn't do a video interview with him, but just got to be a fan
that's
and
good,
see how much
because
I love.
I want him to remain mysterious.
You know what, Paul Cornell?
Sidebar guys did a great interview with
I know. It's a great interview.
Paul Cornell, when I say I did around comics, he's like, are you the one who keeps everything in order? Or are you the one who tries to undermine what's going on? I didn't know what he wanted to hear, so I waited a few seconds. I told him I was the one that undermines.
I could have answered that for him.
I knew what the real answer. But it was bad. I talked to him for, I don't know, like 10 minutes, and I forgot to tell him how much I liked Captain Britain in the MI-13. And I thought about it. I was like, oh, I should have told him I really liked that book. But
about podcasting the whole time?
Well, no. I started talking to him about like how the weather was like. Was beautiful in New York, and we were just talking. And never really,
year,
it was just like a normal. It was
conversation.
Just like a conversation.
Normal conversation.
And it wasn't a spot where it was like, oh yeah, so have you been to New York before? Oh, and by the way, I like that you had Dracula and Doctor Doom on the movie.
Exactly.
But let's get back to the weather. You know, it's hard to fit that in.
When you've gone
down a certain path of having a conversation, and then I walked away thinking I should have said I like this work.
Steve Wacker like introduced himself to me, which blew me away. And he's like, I listen to your show all the time. And I'm like, dude, I've been reading your books that you edit forever. Thank you. I'm like, you're cool. So yeah, nice. I was like, thank you. I'm like,
just
that's very nice. No, I
love it.
<just
an editor. laughs>
Well, no, you know, it was great because, and I told him this, I had in that Jen Van Meter interview before we started recording, she was just telling me how cool it was to be a fly on the wall while Steve would be contacting Greg, and she kind of was watching from the front row, 52, you know, from its inception to when it was coming out, and how cool it was. And she was just talking about how much respect she had for Steve and how he's this incredible, you know, editor that, you know, week in and week out was keeping these guys on time and making sure that book happened. And again, what an amazing feat. So that was really cool. Yeah. And he's kicking ass with the Spider-Man book. I think I didn't want to like Brand New Day, but I got to say,
In our next episode, I have something that ties into 52, a book I want to. I have a tie between Rebels.
Ooh, 52.
Saw Tony Bedard.
Nice. I can't wait to talk about
Bedard being a countdown survivor.
Yeah, no kidding. All the and you can kind of say that about Sean too. Quite frankly,
has been doing,
But no, exactly. And I'll be talking to Tony because I am really psyched for Rebels.
Rebels was good.
I was like,
shall we? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Well, no, I should save it when we talk about Rebels. Because I have a whole thing about how.
Shall we read some emails then?
Yeah. Yes. And if you would like to contact the show, please do so by emailing us at info@aroundcomics.com. Do me a favor in the subject line, put listener feedback, and it kind of helps me keep track of them.
There you go.
Because I've had a lot of emails with other stuff.
Like Nigerian princes trying to hit you up for money again.
Nigerian princes and
won the UK lottery.
Hey, congratulations! That's great.
Several times.
Yes. Interesting. I obviously have a lot of dead relatives in like the Sudan, Argentina.
They all have lots of money.
Someone keeps wanting me to please my woman. is.
Well, that's your Wi-Fi.
Before we get to listener email, you need to look up this video on YouTube of this guy who would answer, like,
the Nigerians,
and he would
spam emails.
And he went as far as to say, "I will send you the money if you do the dead parakeet sketch from
Python."
From Python, and send it to me. It's just these two Nigerian dudes, like, on a home video doing it.
No way.
Yes. Completely out of context. Like, I don't think they've ever seen it before, so they don't understand what's going on in it. I'll send it to you. And it's one of the weirdest things to sit and, because you're sitting and watching that, and you're just like, why am I watching? But you cannot turn away. It's amazing.
Kind of like Starfish Hitler.
Okay. It's a little bit like Starfish Hitler. Yeah. I don't know. My friend Pat keeps sending me these videos. He sent me the video of that kid coming home from the dentist. Is this real life?
That happened to me.
Seen
that.
I
gotta
see.
Send me these things
another time. Another story that happened to me as a young child.
All right, Prince.
No,
too much nitrous. Yeah, too much nitrous. Interesting.
I'll tell the story next.
Here's probably a pretty easy one to answer. This one comes from Harry.
No,
what is your shoe size?
He says, "Hey there, guys. This Christmas, I received a pretty cool gift, and I'm not sure what to do with it. It's a copy of All Star Superman Volume 1 trade paperback, signed on the inside by the fantastically awesome Frank Quitely and Jamie Grant. It's freaking cool, and I would like to display it somehow, but I'm not sure how one would go about doing that. So the question is, how do you display a trade?"
I have a thing called a bookshelf.
I don't even know what you would do in
that.
You know, there's probably, if you go online, I know I've seen them before, there's actually like Lucite cases for books.
But make sure to buy yourself another copy so you can read it.
Yeah, don't read it because it's fantastic.
Yeah, and the bummer about it is that the signature is going to be on the inside.
Yeah, so I don't know what the point of displaying that is really, but if you really want to, there are hard cases out there for books, so you might be able to find one big enough for go to like a collector. There's like collector websites and collector, you know, people that collect stamps or anything else. I mean, there's whole like supply. Niche. Yeah, there's a whole supply industry for that kind of stuff.
And I've seen small scale open book stands that like, you know, you have for like like the same thing that they would have for like a dictionary to be wide open and stuff. But
you need a weight for that.
I would say
because if it's not a hardcover that opens up naturally, you're gonna have to put a weight on it.
Scrub your giner and just not display it.
Yeah, okay.
If you want to display it,
if there's like a Michaels or something in your town that's a hobby store, someone
the cover off.
There you go.
This brings up. I have an idea for a comic book grading service that I'm going to start, where you send me your book and I keep it forever. And I just tell you it's safe.
And then
something bad can happen at your house.
Right.
Nothing bad will happen at my
house.
You'll
archive
it. And I just tell you how much it's worth. But you never get it back.
You never see it again.
You can't read it. You never see it again.
Not when you die. Your kids don't get it. It's just gone.
Well, no, they might
get it. You get a certificate saying that you own it.
Somebody already does that.
Oh,
who is it?
What?
I don't want to say.
All right.
Oh, okay.
All right, we don't really have a good answer for it.
There's a company.
Get creative.
There's a company called BCW online. And
somebody strangling a baby in the back.
Ghost in this.
But there's a company called BCW, and they have a lot of like display stuff that you can.
There you go.
That's cool.
Get something else signed by them that you can display.
Yes.
I don't know when that'll happen.
The next one is from Matthew Burden, and he says, "Hey guys, just want to say, after being far too forgetful of late, I finally remembered to send you my LCS challenge pictures." And he sent some pictures along. I forgot to bring them tonight. Sorry.
Nice going.
I thought this was very cool. A Place in Space is the name of the store in Croydon, Surrey, England. Has been my local shop for 10 years now. Always a great stock of back issues and awesome whole list service. Steve, Allison, Dan, and Chris run an amazing shop that keeps me coming back for more. Anyway, they can be found at 101 Church Street, Croydon, Surrey, and then it's a bunch of numbers.
Letters.
Yeah,
CRO. There's a one R in there, and those dots that are over the upside down.
Give me a zip code, motherfucker.
Five digits.
So
if it's Canada, you could split it in half. You could put a space in between it.
The store was actually mentioned on 11 o'clock comics a few months back, and there were people that went into the store because of that. I know.
No wonder.
The
place is friendly to Europeans. You catch my drift. A bunch of pot smokers. And
he says I've been weirdos. loving the round table of late. May I also add that I too have shit my pants.
Hey, there we go.
Yeah. For any first time listeners, that's going to sound weird. Always listening, spreading the AC word, and he is Templar on the forums.
Wouldn't that be great in Amsterdam to have like a hash bar comic book store? That'd be fantastic.
There probably is one. They sell hash everywhere.
I got to tell you, in 2000, I was in Amsterdam and I saw hash bars and I saw comic book stores, but never the twain shall meet.
Well, maybe it's a new all career for you, John.
All we have is Final Crisis, man.
You can roll it up and smoke it.
If you smoke Final Crisis.
Do we Graham Morrison appears, I believe, when you do that.
We still have what?
Do we still have the LCS challenge?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. So
yeah, I transferred it over to the new site.
You know, I stopped mentioning it. If you go to the LCS challenge at aroundcomics.com, print out a flyer, and if your store owner or manager will display that in the comic shop, shoot us an email, and we'll mention you in the store, just like Matthew there.
Yeah. I got one here.
Okay, go for
William Blankenship wrote... Hey guys, just want to say I love the show. I've been really enjoying Sal on Talking Shit. Have him on more and piss on the whiners. Okay.
Do you have any good shit stories, John?
Yeah, no, I stay away from it. We've sort of gone down a road that I don't know if we can continue. I don't know.
It's a brown road.
It's all right. I'm going to take me and Sal are going to start a new podcast called Sal and Sal Talking Shit.
Shit stories.
Okay, how about a question? What do you think of the Capullo Otley McFarlane sandwich that will be Haunt? Premise looks cheesy, but Otley lends its credibility some. Funny how that works. And I'm an old school Capullo.
I think you have an opinion on this already.
Capullo's Haunt fan. I'll be getting the first story arc. Anyway, thanks for giving me weekly content to chew on while doodling. Peace. 3!LL.
No, or, it's...
Oh, it's Bill. With a 3X. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's fucked up. I do have an opinion on the whole Capullo Otley McFarlane sandwich. I have a couple of opinions. I don't want to shit on it because I haven't seen it. All I've seen at this point is, you know, cover.
I don't want to say it's going to be a stinking pile of shit.
No, I don't. I have no idea if it'll be good or bad. I will read it and see then. But sure. The only thing I was trying to make a point on the 11 o'clock comics forum was that, you know, this isn't the triumphant return of Todd McFarlane to comic books, really. It's
I want him to come back to comics.
It's Capullo doing the layouts, Otley's doing pencils, and then McFarlane's doing what he's calling digital inks. They put up like a 3-page process of this on CBR.
Somebody just bought a Cintiq and wants to play.
Yeah, I mean he's definitely like he's going in and putting in the blacks and adding some line work to Otley's pencils. I mean,
is it kind of like the way Sal was describing what happens to continuity with Neil Adams, where someone else is doing the body and Neil's just kind of coming in and
it almost looks. I mean, it doesn't. It certainly doesn't look like Todd McFarlane's work.
It looks like Ryan Art Otley with somebody came in and added a few.
Yeah, it looks. Like it's Ryan Otley's art with somebody pretending
who's a great
to be
artist.
Todd McFarlane. Capullo's phenomenal.
Greg Capullo is an awesome artist.
So it's just, you know, it's being sold on Todd McFarlane returns to comics.
It's almost a novelty. That McFarlane's doing the inks, because Capullo and Otley are and should be good enough to sell a book on its own. Ryan's awesome.
That and the concept, the concept page that they put up and the character, it looks like, oh, it's Spawn meets Spider-Man. Woo, how novel. What a fantastically original idea.
Where'd you come up with that? Exactly.
But like I said, I'll wait and see and read it, and I don't want to shit all over it, but
I want Todd McFarlane to draw comics.
Absolutely want Todd McFarlane to draw comics.
He won't, though.
He doesn't need to.
Yeah, and he's making money doing this other stuff, and that takes a lot of time.
No, I understand.
Listen, Todd. Absolutely. Listen, do this for me.
Just do a couple. Hey, just do a four issues. You can't do 4-issue miniseries.
That's 4 months, man. That's 4 months away.
Do it for annual. Do an annual that's due 3 years from now.
Almost sounds like the diminishing returns of Superman True Brit, that started off being John Cleese is writing a Superman comic, and then it became John Cleese was co-writing a Superman comic, and then it was John Byrne and a guy who used to work with John Cleese in the Python world are doing a comic that's based on an idea from John Cleese. That kind of went down the crapper.
I mean, the thing with me, it's like, okay, it's a Todd McFarlane idea or whatever, but it's like, really, is Todd McFarlane, is that what we want from Todd McFarlane at this point? Is this brilliant ideas?
Was there something different than he and Kirkman were going to work together on, or wasn't it Haunt?
No, this Haunt, is it.
Yeah.
That's Kirkman's writing.
Yeah, Kirkman's writing it. This is the same book. Okay.
Yeah, Kirkman's writing it. Otley and Capullo and McFarlane are doing the art, I guess.
Well, I'm talking to Robert in April, I believe, at the FX Con. So I'll find out more, and we'll talk about that.
I intend to. So that was it. All right. But cool. Who knows? It could be awesome. Kirkman's a good art writer.
Kirkman.
Yeah. You know, and Otley is a fantastic artist. So
awesome artist.
By Invincible. In trade. I'm a trade waiter on that.
Yeah.
You ready to wrap this puppy up?
Yeah.
Oh, is that it? We're done?
Yeah, we're good.
We got another episode. Got a couple things I didn't want to touch on here.
Issues.
First of all, as always, we are proud to help support the Hero Initiative.
Yes.
Hero creates a financial safety net for yesteryear's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit heroinitiative.org. Wood gave a great shout out to Hero, followed my advice, and kept going by the Hero tables at New York. Got some great sketches, met some great creators.
He was also shocked by the height and breadth of Tom Cater's. He was not expecting Tom. He was expecting Tom to be some scrawny comic book man.
Some candy ass man.
I think he was a bit intimidated.
I said something to the effect of Tom's not from Pennsylvania.
Ooh. I'm from Scott. I look like a fucking lumberjack right now.
Shit, you do.
Put on a flannel shirt. As long as you don't ask me to do anything, then become readily apparent.
You can drink with the best of my friend. That's all that matters.
Somebody on the
Great forum, Hunter, wink, wink. I can drink.
Talking about the Hero table, I think someone on either our forum or 11 o'clock had mentioned that they also went there and George Perez was doing sketches. Line.
Yeah.
At the Hero booth.
So, and he was there, I guess, constantly. He was there all the time.
Go to the Hero booth at conventions because you will get great deals on sketches and be able to spend some really good face time with people.
MoCA is like that as well, the Museum of Contemporary Comic Book Art. Mm-hmm. They had really amazing creators, and nobody was there, and again, doing sketches for donations.
Yeah. I want to make it out to MoCA one of these years.
Yeah, me too. Maybe that's the next New York show that we'll do. I think that's because I want to go see New York, and that sounds like a good show to be able to go and actually see the city and spend a day at MoCA. Would be fun. I want to thank everyone for their iTunes reviews of late. Jordan Fegley, John Rob 5000, Kentucky Comic Guy.
Nice.
Thank you. That's Mike Sims. So thank you folks for your iTunes music reviews. It's a great way to help us promote the show. You can continue this conversation by going to our forum at aroundcomics.com and check out the episode thread there and comment. You can follow, I believe, all of us, John Word Balloon and Brian Salazar and Tom Caters, myself, at Twitter.
I changed mine to Unicorn Master.
You are Unicorn Master. Really?
No.
That's awesome.
It's mine, Unicorn Master.
You can leave us voicemail.
Oh, yes. What's the... I'm going to sneak that one in today.
God. Somebody left us an interesting voicemail today, but the give me a second here. Right? Look up the number.
It can't be as scary as you.
It is 1-888-977-5903.
Hello, this is Sean Trail calling from Harold's Chicken Shack number 44. I'm calling regarding the order of a Mr. Brian Salazar. Tell him he needs to pick up his chicken. I will come in. I will rip up all his fucking comics. I swear to God.
Check the website, and I think we're going to try and start playing some more voicemails. Keep them to under a minute if you can.
Try not to sound like you're on the way to blow up a library like the people that call into 11 o'clock.
Those are just...
That's what happens when you have a show that's friendly to Europeans. A bunch of pot smokers drinking your absinthe and
smoking your hashish.
We would love to hear
having unprotected sex. Wait,
not shaving your armpits. If you're women,
So call on that and try and keep your messages to a minute or so. Here's your Windy City Comic Con moment. Remember to make your plans to attend the 2009 Windy City Comic Con, taking place Saturday, September 19th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. We are adding over 30 new creators to our guest list this year, along with new retailers and an expanded programming schedule. Visit www.windycitycomiccon.com.
Yes, you have a panel you're doing on
Mr. Caters, I have a question.
And accounting.
I'll explain that. I should do a something I know nothing about.
That'd be actually pretty funny.
The best part about learning something is you teaching me about it first.
So go visit WindyCityComicCon.com for more information. And you can also buy your ticket to the show ahead of time. Free gift bags for the first 500 pre-registered guests. That's my goal. I want to have 500 pre-registered attendees. Hey,
at this point, 300.
It's early.
It's early, guys.
David Peterson, the creator of Mouse Guard.
I saw him in New York.
Just talked to or emailed with Kevin Mellon. It looks like
Melonhead.
Yeah, looks like Mellon's going to be making the way up.
I don't really know Kevin well enough to call him that. But,
too late.
And, I will after Windy City Comic.
Kevin's
I'm,
awesome.
I'm hoping for Mr. Hopeless will be along with him and our guest from last week, Eric Rose. Kevin Dennis Hopeless.
Dennis Hopeless,
the co-creator of Gearhead.
Yes,
with Kevin.
So there you go. Go to WindyCityComicCon.com. Check out Tom three times a week?
I did two this past week, but only because I lost my voice. I'm up to three. I do Monday morning, Wednesday morning, Friday morning.
I'm going to be watching you as tax season gets into high gear
again. I think I might even try and up it. Because like when I get home from tax, I'm like wired from work.
Ready to go, ready to talk.
So like
flash.
I can't fall asleep when I get home. So like, and I've gotten into a groove now where I could pound them out in like 14 minutes.
Nice.
Yeah, cut away all the bullshit. But,
you know, get to the heart of it.
Get to the heart of it. Listen, you got an art museum that's in a blimp. What?
You don't even know anymore.
Which issue was that?
So what Dexter Miles trying to steal it? No.
Oh, okay, I was gonna say, is Dexter Miles doing that before he was curating the Flash Museum?
No,
what the hell?
That was when he went to Blue Valley and they had the rules against in the public square against doing art. This was like, also the same
when
town.
Blue Valley was like the Footloose City. Yeah, no dancing, no art.
This was also the town where they had problems with out-of-town go-kart salesmen. Strangers coming in and selling dangerous go-karts.
No wonder Wally had to get the fuck out of Blue Valley.
Really?
It's a terrible place. You know, as a small-town, ex-small-town police officer, I'll tell you, go-kart salesmen are
a big problem.
Big problem sometimes.
I guess we got the go-kart salesmen coming up again.
Another one of those out-of-town go-kart operations.
Damn.
Fly by night.
It's the fifth one this year.
You know, our local go-kart manufacturers are really hurting this year.
Hey, Sal, they're killing us, Officer Sal. I swear to God. You get these out-of-town go-kart guys over by there.
It's such a big deal in Blue Valley for someone to recite Shakespeare, like, in the park, that all the cops run over.
All right, enough of your Shakespeare. Get the hell in the paddy wagon.
Yeah. Need I mention that everyone in that town is white?
Wow. Yeah, Blue Valley. Yeah, ironically,
I never would have guessed.
Really, at that time, the entire DC universe.
And we don't accept your kind here in Blue Valley. Thank you, Blue Valley Chamber of Commerce. They're the unwelcome wagon.
Well, they were talking to someone with brown hair.
Exactly.
You Jewish?
Wally wasn't.
I'm sorry.
Wally's red hair. Just gave him problems.
It's red and black blue. And if you don't have the black blue or the red hair, you got to get the fuck out. I'm sorry.
You can listen to me on the aforementioned friendly to Europeans 11
library bombers
smoking jazz cigarettes while you're recording and
enjoying a lovely
Vince was all ready to burn one down this week. He was getting all
Well, it's because Final Crisis is over. He's not getting his trip.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna have to enjoy
it. Oh, speaking of
what issue makes you smaller?
11 o'clock.
The one makes you tall.
I just want to call all
seventh
you.
One doesn't good, do it. The seventh one doesn't do anything at all.
That's right. We get salvage.
Nice channeling of Grace Slick. I like that. Nice.
All the pussies on 11 o'clock comics that talk shit about me when I'm not there.
So why are you looking at me?
Don't have the balls possibly to say anything to me.
I didn't see David Price. Was he at the
mic?
No. Let's really end this episode.
All right.
Tom's tired. He wants to go.
No, we got another one to do.
Yeah, I know.
Let's keep it together, guys.
Talking about you, David Price.
Wow.
All right. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Mr. John Centris. I'm sure a lot of stuff coming up from New York Comic-Con on Word Balloon.
Video and audio, yes.
Okay. So check out newsaroma.com
and wordballoon.com. Okay. Absolutely. Thank
great.
You.
Great. Sal, my buddy. Great job.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Happy birthday, man.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank
happy
you.
Birthday.
Boy, and, it's like I've had three this year. I had my birthday, and then I had today, and then tomorrow my wife's having a party for me.
That's very nice.
Wow. Aren't you special?
It's like really
drag out the fucking pain of turning 38.
Only, yeah, I was going to say, only turn 86 once. Yeah, so we want to do it before
Norton
it's over.
Mike Norton came tonight, brought me a beautiful birthday cake. Happy birthday. Happy 65th
birthday. 65th. Thank you, Mike. Right. We got a gold watch and everything.
Yeah, I'm retiring.
Thank you, Sean.
But thanks for picking up all the audio stuff. I think it's going to make a big difference.
We'll see. So.
All right, Mr. Tom Caters, thank you.
Yeah, well, whatever.
All right. And as always, we'd like to thank Mr. Mark Beatty for hosting us here at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. Everyone, have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. We'll be back again next Monday with another full-length episode. Blah, 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 blah. In the meantime.
In between time.
We'll be everywhere in...
Comics!
I was trying to think of another.
Fuck you, David Price and Vince B.
Oh, don't talk like that.
Talk shit.
No, don't talk like that. I'm Vince.
That's how Biggie got where he is.
Vince asks like your best friend when you're on the show, but as soon as you're off, oh, he talks shit about you then.
Expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production. Copyright 2009.